A nonprofit organization's goods or services may be worth what it costs the recipients, sometimes nothing, without being worth what it costs to produce. In other words, while an enterprise constrained by profit and loss considerations cannot continue to use resources which have a greater value in alternative uses elsewhere in the economy, a nonprofit organization can, since it need not recover the full costs of the resources it uses from the recipients of the goods and services it provides. Where nonprofit organizations are making grants of money, the recipients of that money are in no position to influence the way the nonprofit organization operates, as customers of profit-seeking organizations can and do. In the case of nonprofit organizations that serve as intermediaries in the transfer of human organs, such as livers and kidneys, donated to be transplanted to ill patients, these nonprofit organizations can impose arbitrary rules which neither doctors nor patients are in much position to challenge. In general, those who run nonprofit organizations are in a position vis-à-vis those who use their goods and services very similar to that of a landlord during a shortage of housing. There is a surplus of applicants. Under these conditions, where neither the desires of the current users of the nonprofit organization's goods and services nor the original desires of those who supplied their endowments in the past have the kind of leverage that both customers and investors have on a profit-seeking enterprise, those individuals who happen to be in charge of a nonprofit institution at a given time can substitute their own goals for the institution's ostensible goals or the goals of their founders. It has been said, for example, that Henry Ford and John D. Rockefeller would turn over in their graves if they knew what kinds of things are being financed today by the foundations which bear their names. While that is ultimately unknowable, what is known is that Henry Ford II resigned from the board of the Ford Foundation in protest against what the foundation was doing with the money left by his grandfather. More generally, it is now widely recognized how difficult it is to establish a foundation to serve a given purpose and expect it to stick to that purpose after the money has been contributed, and especially after the original donors are dead. Much money can be dissipated in creating luxurious surroundings in the organization's workplace or arranging showy conferences in posh hotels and resorts, held in upscale locations around the country or overseas. The aims of the organization can be bent to the aims of its current officials or to decisions and activities that will gain them public visibility and applause, whether or not any of this serves the original purpose for which the nonprofit organization was founded or even its current ostensible purpose. British writer Peter Hitchens observed that the government-established Church of England was more and more being run for the benefit of its own employees rather than for the benefit of churchgoers or the country. Adam Smith made similar charges against endowed universities in the 18th century. Smith pointed out how academics running colleges and universities financed by endowments can run them in self-serving ways, being very indulgent to one another, so that each academic would consent that his neighbor may neglect his duty, provided he himself is allowed to neglect his own. Widespread complaints today that professors neglect teaching in favor of research and sometimes neglect both in favor of leisure or other activities, suggest that the underlying principle has not changed much in more than 200 years. Tenure guaranteeing lifetime appointments is common in nonprofit colleges and universities, but is virtually unknown in businesses that must meet the competition of the marketplace, including profit-seeking educational institutions such as the University of Phoenix. Academic institutions, hospitals, and foundations are usually nonprofit organizations in the United States. However, nonprofit institutions cover a wide range of endeavors and can also engage in activities normally engaged in by profit-seeking enterprises, such as selling sun-kissed oranges or publishing the Smithsonian magazine. In whatever activities they engage, nonprofit organizations are not under the same pressures to get the most bang for the buck as are enterprises in which profit and loss determine their survival. This affects efficiency, not only in the narrow financial sense, but also in the broader sense of achieving the avowed purposes of institutions.